But in Deuteronomy chapter 7, the Bible has a key word in verse number 18 that I want you to see. Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. I'm preaching this morning on this thought, remembering and rehearsing. Remembering and rehearsing. It is an important part of the Christian's life to often go back and remember and rehearse what God did. If you study the Old Testament, you'll find that God uses the idea of memorials. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter number 17. Exodus 17, and I want you to look at with me verse number 12. The importance of memorials, the importance of rehearsing, the importance of remembering what God has done for you and me. In fact, when you study the children of Israel in Psalm 78, you will find that what led to their backsliding was that they forgot the works of God. And so remembering is important. In Exodus chapter 17, verse number 12, the Bible says, "But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." Hey, it was a great day when Joshua and Aaron, when Aaron and Hur held up the hands of Moses, and Joshua won the battle with Amalek. And God told Moses, go write it down. Somewhere along the line, Joshua is going to need to rehearse that victory. He's going to need that for strength in his own life. Write it down for a memorial. Let it be a permanent memory that we etch in our minds of what God did at the battle of Amalek or with Amalek. In Exodus chapter 12, verse number 14, the Bible says, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." What was that feast to represent? It was to represent that the blood that was put on the doorpost was protected the children of Israel from the death cloud that God brought and the plague that God brought upon Egypt. And God said, listen, I want you to remember it every year. I want you to have a feast to remember it every year. You need to remember what I did for you. You need to remember my mighty arm that worked on behalf of you. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 4 and verse number 7, "Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial for the children of Israel forever." What was he saying? I did something big on your behalf, and I want you and I want the generations below you to remember what I did. I want there to be a memorial of stones there so that people can talk, oh yeah, I remember. I remember when God rolled the waters back. There's a memorial. There's a time of remembering. What does this do when we take time to remember and rehearse what God has done? What does it do? What does it accomplish in our lives? If you're taking notes this morning, write down point number one. Remembering and rehearsing infuses courage in us for the next mountain. Let me say it again. Remembering and rehearsing infuses courage in us for the next mountain. Go back to our text, Deuteronomy chapter 7. Go back to the text that we started with, Deuteronomy chapter 7, and look at verse number 6. Or verse number 16, I should say. It's amazing as God records the scripture and as Moses speaks here under the inspiration of the Lord and His Spirit, that God can almost read the minds of what the children of Israel are going to think as they go into their next battle. Look at verse number 16. The Bible says, "And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eyes shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. If thou shalt say in thine heart," and And I think God knew they would say in their heart, if thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? You ever get in a situation where you feel like you're the minority? You're the only one? It's interesting here. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I. Well, of course the nations they're going to fight are going to be more than them individually. And that thou shalt dispossess them. Oh my Lord, this is a really big mountain to climb. This is something we've never faced before. Lord, how in the world? We're the minority in this battle. My, we have our few soldiers. They have their thousands of soldiers. If thou shalt say those things, then what does the Bible say? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shall what? Well, remember. What is going to dispose of fear in your current situation that you haven't seen before? By the way, all trials, I've never had a repeat of a trial that I can look back in my life and say, oh yeah, I faced this right there. It seems like every trial that comes at me is something I never faced before. It has different complexities and dynamics and things that cause fear to rise in my soul. And, you know, I try to work it out in my mind, probably like you do, and try to battle in the mind. You know, I'm supposed to trust in the Lord. What is going to help me to trust and not fear in my current situation is that if I take time to remember and rehearse what God has done for me in the past. That's why it's important to remember and rehearse. That's why it's important to keep a works of God journal. That's why it's important for you to be able to point back over and over and over in your life and say, God did that for me, and God did that for me. God provided a child when I had no idea that, and I didn't think that I could have a child. God provided me a child. God provided me a job. God answered that prayer of my lost loved one that I thought never would get saved. Listen, God's given us things to remember. And it infuses courage in us when we remember in our current situations what God has done in the past. Remembering and rehearsing not only infuses courage into us for our next mountain, but secondly, remembering and rehearsing increases one's confidence in God. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. If you're taking notes this morning, write down this truth. Courage comes from confidence in God. Let me say it again. Courage to face our situations and trials in life comes from confidence in God. So how do I build faith and confidence in God? I remember. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I want you to look at verse number 18. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 18. The Bible says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Remembering and rehearsing increases our confidence in God. It is God that giveth. It is God that has provided. It is God who has answered. It is God who has listened. It is God who has worked a miracle in my family or in my life. It is God who comforted me. It is God. And we keep going back to God. And as we keep going back to God and remembering, all of a sudden that confidence builds within us. God can do all things. And there's nothing too hard for my God when we remember. When we remember, it reminds us of God's commitment to us as His children. What a beautiful song this morning that reminds us that even when God's silent, we're to remember that He is faithful to His children. And He doesn't leave us alone. When we remember what God has done for us, my friend, oh, it reminds us of His commitment to us as His children. It reminds us of His power over all. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse number 15, as we stay in the book of Deuteronomy and we track and trace this word remember, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 15, "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day." He says, remember my mighty hand and my outstretched arm. I brought you out of Egypt. You were slaves there, but I changed it. Changed it in a moment. Changed it as they crossed the Red Sea and God brought the waters in on the nation of Egypt, and Pharaoh and his chariots and all the horses. Were they outnumbered? Were they outmanned? Were they out-equipped? Yes, but God. God switched that whole thing, turned the tide. My, you remember when God turned the tide in your life in some area? Didn't look good. Looked gloomy. And God turned it in His power. It reminds us of God's care for us. Reminds us that we're to show forth His praises because He has done so much for us. Remembering and rehearsing infuses courage for our next mountain, but it also increases our confidence in God. That's why, Christian, it would do you well to sit down sometime this week and just start writing down, hey, this is what God did for me. Part of my message preparation this week led into that. I'm going to share some of it with you in the message this morning. Remembering, rehearsing what God has done for us. That's what we're doing today. Remembering and rehearsing insulates us against pride. This is a necessary discipline in our lives. This is a necessary exercise because it gives us courage. It increases our confidence in God. But thirdly, it insulates us or protects us against pride. Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 8. And look at verse number 10. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 10. Follow along as I begin reading in verse number 10. The Bible says, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built a goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought forth the water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that He might humble thee, that He might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for He it is that giveth thee power to get wealth." Brethren, when we take time to remember God, when we take time to testify, as you'll hear some testimonies over at the building this morning, listen, it insulates us against, it was all me. You know, my life and my success, and it was all me. No, no, no. When you remember God, you remember it was all God. It was nothing of me. It was all of God. And God warns the people here, hey, don't think that you got to where you're at today because of you. You remember I fed manna to you in the wilderness. You remember I led you out of the nation of Egypt. You remember that where you got today has my hand all over it. And may I say today, Christian, that it's the same thing in our lives. We haven't gotten to where we're at today because of us. We have gotten to where we're at today. Anything good that has come about in my life has come from the hand of God. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift, James says, comes from above. God created memory points for Israel here. I brought you out of Egypt. I led you in the wilderness. I made water flow from the rock. I fed you with manna every day. I took care of you. Hey, remember those things. God was bringing himself before them and says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. When we intentionally set up a structure to help us remember God, we are more likely to obey him and trust him. But when we fail to remember, we are more likely to live for ourselves and live out of pride. God says, remember. You say, preacher, what else is the benefit of remembering and rehearsing? Fourthly, it implants the works of God in the hearts and mind of the next generation. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and look at verse number 27. Important reason why parents, grandparents, we need to rehearse and we need to remember what God has done for us. And we need to do it in the ears of the next generation and the next generation. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse number 7, the Bible says, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. In Psalm 45, verse 17, I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. The psalmist made a commitment. As long as I live, I'm going to make your name remembered to all generations. Every generation that I come in contact with, I'm going to talk about your name. I'm going to rehearse what you have done. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 145. Psalm 145 in verses 4 through 6. The same truth is expounded on in chapter 145 of the book of Psalms. Verse number 4. The Bible says, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. And I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the mighty of thy terrible acts. And I will declare thy greatness. Notice the word does not say one generation shall merely teach his works to one another. But it says one generation shall praise thy works one to another. It is the biblical duty of every generation of Christians to declare, to praise the works of our great God. Listen, some of you are in your upper ages of life. You're getting towards the end of your life, so to speak. Let me revive you back to a truth, back to a reason why you're here, and that is to declare the works of God to the younger generations. That's my generation's responsibility. That's Truman's generation's responsibility. It's all of our generation's responsibility to declare the works, to praise the works of our God to the next generation. Why? Because it implants in them that God is real. One of the things that troubles me is that many people that have gone into Satanism have left good Bible-believing churches like ours because they wanted to find something that was real. And I'm here to say today, my God is real. My God does mighty acts on my behalf and on others' behalf that I know. And I don't need to search for something that's real. I've got a real God that acts on my behalf. Look at Psalm 145. Let's backtrack now to verse number 1. The Bible says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Watch this. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Parents and grandparents, let me talk to you this morning. How often do your children or grandchildren hear you praise God for what he has done? How often do they hear you pray and offer praise and thanksgiving to God for what he's done on your behalf. How often do your children or grandchildren hear you testify of specific answers to prayer and God's work in your life? The psalmist said this, I'll do it every day, I'll bless thee. Whew. I want the generations to know that I've got a God that is active. I've got a God that is working. Brethren, without times of praise and sharing the wonderful works of God, our children will not know our God. In Judges chapter 2, verse number 10, there's a sad commentary on one generation of Israel. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord. Watch this. Nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Somebody dropped the ball. During that period of time, did God stop working in Israel? Absolutely not. God always worked with his people. God always worked on behalf of his people. But there arose a generation, the Bible says, who knew not their God nor the works that he had done for them. Brethren, we better not drop the ball on declaring and remembering and rehearsing and having memorials of what God has done for us. It implants in the next generation what they need to know God. You may pass financial freedom down to your children or grandchildren. You may pass down a rigid, strict, or frugal way of living. You may pass down certain skills to your kids. You may pass down a hard work ethic down to your children or certain philosophies of life that seem to have worked in your life. But hear me, if you don't pass down the works of God, they will not know your God. They must know the works of God. They must hear them. They must see them with their eyes. The mighty works of God. Older saints, I hope you recognize that you're rich in stories. You got a lot to share. You have a lot of life experience where God has helped you, where God has delivered you, where God has forgiven you, where God has answered. It's why our Sunshine and Smiles Club every once in a while has an older person out to the annex to sit down and share the works of God. Life stories that show God's works. We need to hear about them. We need to hear about your trials. We need to hear about his provision. We need to hear about his grace to deliver you from sin. We need to hear about your greatest challenges and how God brought you through them. We need to hear about the hardest lessons you've learned along the way and the scriptures that sustained you in them. We need to hear about the friends that God gave you in just the right moment and the words that were fitly spoken by somebody that God put into your life. We need to hear about the times of provision where God helped you to pay a bill or provided a vehicle or provided food. We need to hear about the times of healing. We need to hear about the recovery from surgery. We need to hear about the disease that was taken from your body. Why? Because God says, I want you to remember me. And I want you to declare it to the generation. Sunday school teachers, let me encourage you. Maybe, you know, when I was youth pastor, there were certain times where I would change things up a little bit, and, you know, just to give some variety. And I'd do a top 10 on something, or I would change up the intro. Maybe Sunday school teachers, you want to weave in, hey, I just want to share with you how God's worked in my life. Maybe you want to do 4 or 6 weeks of just sharing with your class, hey, this is what God's done for me. And I want you to know that God is a powerful God. Talk about when you were grieving and broken and God comforted. Declare when the Lord protected you in an accident or from an accident, or protected you from getting the wrong mate, or protected you from making a bad decision. Talk about when you did wrong and God had compassion and forgave you. Talk about God's mercy and not giving you what you do deserve. Share with them blessings connected to obedience, like tithing. Share with them steps of faith that God led you in and how he was clear to show you his will. Share with others how God has brought good Christian friends into your life and the impact that they've had. I'm going to share with you as we close the message this morning some things. I remember years ago in college, I was battling giving up. About four or five things happened in a short amount of time that greatly discouraged me. And I had a church that I went to, but a friend of mine had a church that he went to. He was in the dorm with me, and they were having special services, and he invited me to come. And I went, and I was questioning God. I was troubled. I was thinking like this: God, I've given you my life to serve you, and you're allowing these things into my life. What kind of God are you? And God, I don't know if I want to serve you. But just being honest, I was troubled. Went to the service that night, and the preacher preached a message. John Hamblin was his name. He preached a message entitled, "And David Went On." And I sat there in the service weeping because I knew God put me there for that message. At that time, I ran to the altar. I confessed my doubtful thoughts to God. Said, God, I'm wrong. You're right. And I need encouraged in you. But Lord, thank you for speaking to me. Real in my life. Very present in my life in time of trouble. As he says he would be. I remember being on the brink of a prodigal son, having my heart hardened. And Dad sending me to camp, and I didn't want to go to camp. And right there was a sign that something's not right. And the preacher preached on running from God Monday night. And God was dealing with my soul. And Tuesday night, the preacher stood up and he preached on a hardened heart. And I was sitting on the right-hand side about 12 rows back. And God, again, was breaking me, was speaking to me individually and saying, that's you, and I care about you, and I want your relationship restored with me. And I ran to an altar again, and I said, God, I'm backslidden. God, I'm broken. God, I'm hardened. Lord, please forgive me. And God dealt with me, and I'm so glad that He did. I remember it. I remember Jeremy and Hart and Don Booth being in the hospital the same night. Don's fingers were all but off. It's terrible what happened to his fingers. It didn't look good. I just talked to Don not too long ago, and he's moving all of them. I'm saying, preacher, this one still got a little work to do, but God. Jeremy Hart having that heart issue. I remember praying with him that night. Just talked to Jeremy recently. He said, I'm doing much better, preacher. Who is that? Who fixes that kind of stuff? My God does. My God brings healing like that. I remember meeting with Scott Pingley in his house not too long ago. My girl's with me and we're visiting Scott. Scott's been here a number of times. We're praying over this visit. Lord, don't know where this visit's going to go, but Lord, if he's not saved, sure would like to see him come to know Christ as his Savior. And Scott bows his head in his home and receives Jesus Christ into his heart. Who does that? God does that. God does that. I remember this morning when Louis Rolick walked into my office. We were not here very long. We had an old beat-up car. I bought a $600 car before I got married, and we limped with it. It didn't even make it out here. It broke down 4 hours out, and we needed another vehicle. And we brought it before the Lord, and Louis Rolick walked down in my office, which was right down here. He said, preacher, I don't know how to explain this to you. I'm supposed to give you my Jimmy. My eyes about fell out and rolled down the floor. And he gave us a vehicle. I'd never seen God do anything like that in my life. God did that. God provided that. I remember when my wife had preeclampsia and we prayed over her in the hospital that God would bring her through it. And He did. He didn't allow her to slip into a coma. And He allowed our child to be born and make it. And it was a miracle. I remember the phone call when Kyle McCleary nearly severed his entire leg, had his entire leg severed, walked into Johns Hopkins trauma room, and Kyle sliced, wrapped all up, bleeding through the wrap, ugly, nasty. Doctor said he'll never walk the way he used to walk. And Kyle's walking normal today, and I say, who did it? But God did it. My God, the God that I serve, He did it. I remember Elizabeth Lovett healed of epilepsy in October of 2005. I remember God allowed me to have a foot problem, plantar fasciitis, for months. Could hardly get up and walk. And God allowed me to get to a doctor in a simple shot, and God healed me. I don't forget that. God did that. I remember back in October 15, 2006, 13 years ago, when Sandy Heffner prayed with my daughter Jenna to get saved in Sunday school. And we had prayed that our children would come to Christ at the earliest opportunity and understanding. And I got word that Jenna received Christ as her Savior. Who does that? God does that. God answered that prayer. God worked through Mrs. Heffner and the lessons and a number of other people investing in my children's lives. I remember grieving the death of my daughter and finding great comfort in Psalm 55. And the song, His Way is Perfect. These were like a balm of Gilead to my soul. And a church that rallied to our aid and comforted us. I remember dealing with false guilt and shame in that situation and coming across Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, where the Bible speaks of Jesus and he says he despised his shame. And God gave me deliverance of all those thoughts that were troubling and condemning me. And the scripture, God used the scripture alive in my life. That's the God that I serve. Younger generation here this morning, listen, that's your God too. You can have things that you remember. You can know God. You can pray and have prayers answered. You can have God speak to you in Scripture. You can have the comfort of God. You can have everything that God provides for me. You can have it too. He's a real God. I remember praying for a place to stay when we first moved out here. Getting married and the responsibility of providing a home. Glenn Parks is sitting back there, and Glenn and Darlene offered Glenn's dad's home to us for the first couple years that we were here and met a great need in our lives. Nice place to stay. Don't forget, that was a specific answer to prayer. I remember the phone call alerting me that my father was diagnosed with aggressive lymphoma. I remember how it hit me like a ton of bricks on a Friday night. We were getting ready to leave for Israel a couple days later. And I remember for the first time in my life thinking this thought, what if my father dies? I never thought that thought before. But now that thought was a reality. And I remember praying. And then I remember the phone call of, son, I'm cancer free. Woo! Makes you want to shout. I remember. I rehearse. I remember going through the spiritual warfare of whether or not I should stay and pastor this church after Dad left. I remember having a multitude of thoughts within me. I remember being confused and uncertain. I remember asking the church to give me 2 weeks to pray. I remember praying and fasting. I remember in my old house being downstairs with the Word of God saying, God, I got to make a decision. I can't make a decision without knowing something from your book. And Lord, you have yet to reveal to me anything from your Bible in this decision. I remember going to 1 Samuel 23. And I remember David inquiring of the Lord whether or not to go to battle. And I remember God telling him, I will be with you. Go. And I remember the Spirit of God taking that passage of Scripture and saying, here you go, buddy. Here's something you can anchor your decision to. I remember that. I remember God's works. Do you have some to remember? When we remember it so that they, the next generation, might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God but keep His commandments. I have much more to say. I have to close. Today, we're going to remember and rehearse. But I really challenge you to make a commitment in that area in your life. Parents, I challenge you. Lord, help me every day to bless your name to my children. Lord, give me something to tell them. Lord, help me, Lord. In the trial that I'm in, I'm facing fear. But Lord, remembering you will infuse courage. It will build my confidence in you. It will implant in my children a knowledge of God. Lord, this needs to be a part of my life, remembering ever seen.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.